Get ready. It's time to tee it up with Keith Jones.
Coming up on today's show, it's time to check in and get a checkup from our mental guru, Dr. Bob Winters. So stay tuned and get ready as you tee it up with Keith Jones.
All right.
Welcome to the show. So glad you'd be along. Back from a trip to Florida to see Bob Towsky for his 98th birthday. Got a chance to see Kai Pflaster, Mike Malaska, all kinds of people. One people we didn't get to see, this hour's guest. That is Dr. Bob Winters. Well, because he was probably in Orlando, and, you know, the East Coast is not Central Florida. And, well, we won't get into geography too much this hour, but I do appreciate Doc making time to come on the show. And it's always good to have you on. One of our regular contributors, our mental guru, Dr. Bob Winters. Welcome.
Keith, you know, how are you?
I am not too bad. I am not as road-worn as I thought I might be. It was quite a week. I had a wedding on the East Coast in Delaware. Then I get down for Bob Towsky's 98th birthday, which was a great celebration, and spent some time with Bob and a bunch of other people. They come from all over the world to be at Towsky's party or be around that guy. It is pretty amazing. So we'll talk with Bob in the next couple of weeks or so, maybe next week. As a matter of fact, we're trying to get Charlie Meacham on with him. Charlie's anxious to talk with him. And, well, we'll talk with Mike Malaska and some other people. And Mike's an interesting guy. I got to spend a lot of time with Mike Malaska. Now, I'm sure you're aware of him, Doc. And Mike has been on the show a couple of times in the past. But fascinating instructor to talk to, because he's really into the kinesiology part. He's into the body part, and he understands the mind. He played professionally, and I know you played at a high level as well, and it makes a difference when you're trying to express your craft to a student.
Well, obviously, you know, communication is key, but the one thing you always have to remember, I mean, individual differences, no, that is paramount, because different folks communicate, you know, differently. They just do. And that's why you have to look around and find a great instructor that resonates, that articulates, you know, his voice, his message in such a way that one is transmitting this information and that the learner is receiving. And the very best, you know, teacher-student relationship is made on what we call a pure transceiver relationship, which means you have one person who's transmitting information while the other person, you know, is sort of just not being distracted, but is actually receiving that information, is really making pulse points and saying, yes, I can process this information. It makes sense to me. And then relay back, you know, what they have heard, what they have learned to the teachers, so they know they are talking apples to apples. So you have one's a transmitter, one's a receiver, and then, you know, the roles are reversed. So I always call it a transceiver situation. So, you know, yeah, and Mike Blaska, you know, is a great, you know, teacher. You know, I've met him, you know, once, and I'm sorry that I missed, you know, Bob Towsky's, you know, 98th birthday. I have been, you know, traveling myself. You know, I've just, you know, recently had gone to Alaska just a few weeks ago for a nice R&R with, you know, my beautiful wife. And we went up there on an Alaskan cruise, no golf at all, but I saw a lot of things that referred me back to the game, sort of, you know, my teaching ideology. And then, you know, this past week I was up in the Midwest in Kentucky, Indiana, and Michigan. So I've been, you know, sort of traveling myself. So I've been the one doctor, Dr. Bob Winters, who makes house calls. I've always said that. So I love, you know, to travel and love, you know, to get out, you know, of the sort of the humid Florida that it has been for this past summer and get up to Alaska. It was wonderful weather up there and wonderful weather in the Midwest. So kind of blessed to be in a career where I can get out, you know, from the heat and get out, you know, in some different places, see some different golf courses, work with a lot of people at some really different tracks. So, you know, so that's where I've been.
That's excellent. You mentioned the humidity and having breakfast with Bob on Monday morning before his party that night. He wants to sit outside because there are a number of people. There were 10 or 12 people at breakfast that day. So he says, let's sit outside. There's more room outside. And before we ordered anything, yours truly was already sweating. It was insane on how humid it is. So kudos to you. I have been fortunate enough to have gone to Alaska, happened to be on a cruise. It's a good way to get around Alaska. But what were your thoughts on that? We will talk a little bit about the West Coast for a little while, the West Coast on the show for just a smidge, because I think it's one of those great frontiers that people need to experience.
You know, when someone asked me the other day, I was doing a clinic for a high school in Indianapolis, and a young player had asked me this question. He said, Dr. Winters, what do you think about someone, you know, taking time off and just putting the clubs away and, you know, just sort of getting away from the game, getting away from the grind? And, you know, and what are your thoughts about taking time off? And it was funny because here is a little young boy. I found out that his family, they lived right on the golf course. He loves the game. He eats, sleeps, and drinks golf. And they're trying to actually say, listen, you need to, you know, put the clubs down. But I was always thinking about, you know, Ben Hogan, you know, for every day you miss, you know, it takes you 2 days, you know, to catch up to where you were. And that's really what I said to him. He goes, so that's what I fear. He goes, I fear if I take any time off, he goes, I think I'm going to actually lose something. So with that being said, I told him, I said, there are, you know, professionals who play the game and who play it, you know, professionally, means that they play for money. They play for their vocation. It's their career. I said, but they realize that unless they actually put the clubs down and take some type of a mental health day or mental health week or even a month, it actually rejuvenates and recharges them and helps them play better when they actually, you know, take up the clubs. And I said, I was just up in, you know, Alaska, and I was talking about my trip. And I said, while I was there, I was learning a very powerful lesson from just watching this unbelievable stream in Ketchikan. And we are at the Tongass National Forest. And there were streams where bears, you know, would be, you know, by the streams trying to catch salmon that were now, you know, leaving the ocean, coming back, you know, to the fresh water where they had hatched. So they were coming back to the fresh water to spawn. I said, but I saw these salmon. And I said, the thing I learned on this trip that really just sort of paralleled what we do in golf was a life lesson, a golf lesson, is that, you know, the salmon, the silver salmon, coho and king salmon, they, you know, go back to these streams and they're fighting their way up these streams. And they fight, you know, these waterfalls, and then they fall down. But they get back up, and they just, you know, are so persistent, so determined. That's what they do. And I said, it reminds me of just being patient, of understanding persistence, of understanding grit, is that, you know, if you have a bad hole, you have a bad shot, you have to be able to put it behind you and start fresh. Always just, you know, swimming up this stream and never forgetting how many times you've been knocked down. And I was told the young man, it reminds me of the Japanese philosophy, for seven times you get knocked down, eight times you get back up. And I said, that's really what I was learning from these salmon. So when I was in the middle of the United States' largest national forest, Tongass National Forest, it looks like an Amazon forest, and I didn't realize that like a third of sort of the Amazonian foliage really, you know, is right there in Ketchikan, Alaska. You wouldn't believe that, but it's because, you know, of the temperatures and just the way all of the plant life, you know, lives up there. So it was interesting, and I was revealing to this young man and to this young crowd about I'm not even anywhere close to golf, but I'm finding out something about the game, and I'm applying it. And I'm applying it just not to my philosophy, but, you know, to my psychology, you know, sort of my memory warehouse of, you know, what's really important in the game. Because becoming a player of the game isn't just about a physical skill set. It's about a mental an emotional skill set. And the skills that we talk about in golf, you know, we can talk about the word par, P-A-R, meaning power, accuracy, and recovery. You know, those are the physical skills, but the mental skills, you know, of par, if you want to use par as sort of some type of acronym for the mental game, you got to talk about patience, you have to talk about acceptance, and you have to talk about resiliency. And so I was really, you know, trying to really relate, you know, something to this young man. I said, but if your parents, you know, or anyone, your coach is trying to tell you to put these clubs down for a little while, I said, put them down for a little while and then see when you come back in a couple of days how excited you are to play the game. And he just had these big, wide open eyes, and he never really heard anything. I know that I spent a lot of time telling a lot of stories here, but I wanted to make sure that it wasn't, oh, yeah, you just need to go out and put the clubs down. I wanted to make sure that he understood and why there was a story behind it, because any time that we're trying to improve our game is that we need to be thinking of things that really benefit us, not just as a skill set, not just as a mechanical player, but as an overall holistic concept, you know, and really understand, you know, that your emotions and your attitude really play a big part in your practice, in your preparation, and ultimately in your performance. So it was kind of a nice little question, you know, from a young 14-year-old, but hopefully I explained it in such a way that he walked away and he said, okay, I'm going to take a break and I'm going to come back refreshed.
I think in your story, you just explained to the listeners why you are one of our regular contributors, because that's exactly it. Those life lessons away from golf, which still parallel the game, but the things you can actually learn when you are away from the game. So you're still kind of immersed and such. And that was the opportunity when I'm in Florida for the Toski celebration, and all these guys come in, and of course the pros, a lot of teaching pros, a lot of branches on Bob's tree, but they're talking about different approaches and not just the golf swing, but the way that they approach things, either from when they played or from now when they teach or what have you, because those life lessons, while you don't think about it at the time, when you're doing it, you reflect back, you say, that makes total sense.
Yeah, and I think Bob Toski, the mouse, I mean, it was one of, you know, of the great, you know, storytellers, and I think that's how people really learn. When we listen to people talk about stories, I even, you know, quoted the great Jackie Burke from Texas, and Jackie Burke said something I thought was just so relevant, especially, you know, to golfers. And he said, listen, in the jungles of Africa and South America, animals that walk with their heads down, you know, and not really knowing where they're going are the ones that get eaten, okay? You got to get your head up. You got to know where you're going. Even when times are really tough, you got to get that head up. And that's one of the first things I see in frustrated golfers. They get, you know, their heads down. They start beating themselves up. And I can even go, you know, on and on about, you know, the hormones and neurotransmitters and all the stress cortisol that we create just with our body language. And the moment that you actually just change your mind, you change your game. And that's my trademark. But the point of it is, the moment you change your posture, the moment you change your attitude, everything changes. And, you know, that clarity of purpose, that intentionality, that is really what separates the really good players from the wannabes.
He is our guest this hour, the Confidence Doctor, Dr. Bob Winters. We'll be back with more after this break.
Hi, this is John O'Hurley reminding you you're listening to Tee It Up with Keith Jones. I haven't been this excited since I discovered I couldn't lick my elbow.
Yeah. And we're back with Dr. Bob Winters. It's a pleasure to spend some time with him, catching up. He's been traveling. We're trying to get him on, but he's a busy boy. So when we get him, we get him, and we get him good from that standpoint. And previous segment, we were talking a lot about things you can learn about golf and the game away from the game, and I think that's paramount, because I know how you get, Doc, with your playing, and you're pretty intense. I mean, you competed at the collegiate level, you got it into a touch of the pro level, and you know, and then you've transcended from there. So golf is very important to you professionally, but also when you're out there, whether you're beating up on your buddies in Scotland or whatever you're doing around the game when you're playing.
Well, I think that's the big thing that people don't know about me, is that, you know, even though I have like all of this, I guess, academic education and background, I have a really strong playing background. I mean, playing professionally at every level. I mean, over the years, you know, going to like, you know, NGA, going to the, you know, developmental tours right out of college, and then going to PGA Tour school, and then, you know, getting back into private business and getting into sports vision, and then getting back into academia, and then coming down to Florida, and then going to Champions Tour school. But even before then, you know, getting to like the 40 plus tour, sort of the priority to getting ready for the senior tour, you know, doing a lot of that. And that was sort of in, you know, my part time, you know, so I was one of these players who was really involved playing the game, but I was doing it part time. And the one thing people say, what's the one thing you really regret? And I go, well, the one thing I regret is that I wish, again, it's the old time philosophy. It says the life's so short, you know, the lesson's so hard to learn. And it's like, you know, the great, you know, boxer Mike Tyson said, old too soon, too late, too smart. You know, you just, you know, it takes so long to find out what you need to know. And then when you know it, you're almost too old, you know, to actually apply it physically. And that's why, you know, when we, you know, talk to, you know, our young students, we're really helping them accelerate and expedite, you know, the learning process, so that now when, you know, they come out of high school going into college, you've got grizzled veterans who are playing in all these different junior tours, Keith. And I mean, they're traveling here, there, and everywhere. So they're getting, you know, top physical training, top mental training, you know, getting great nutrition advice. I mean, they're getting, you know, some great information that, you know, we didn't really have access to. We sort of had, like Hogan said, we had to kind of dig it out of the dirt. And I remember, you know, what Laura Ball finally told me one time when I was working with her, when she was really trying to sort of, you know, she was teaching, she was doing a lot of things, but it was past her playing career. She said, the one thing that I didn't want to do, I didn't want to give away any of my secrets. I think, you know, Nancy Lopez said the same thing. You know, it's great, everybody wants to share these secrets now and say, hey, this is what I'm doing, and now we've got all these different videos and YouTube or whatever. But, you know, back in the day, you know, professionals really didn't want to share their secrets because they were too sacred. They didn't want to give away their power, so to speak. And everybody had kind of that selfish notion. It's like, hey, I worked really hard to find out what I know. I'm not that eager to share it. But, you know, over the years, you know, people have become very forthcoming, and they're, you know, in fact, we almost have way too much information. And so now you have information overload, and that can really screw you up. And so it's funny because I have, you know, a lot of players in qualifying school now, Korn Ferry Tour, trying to get their Korn Ferry Tour card, advanced to the PGA Tour and LPGA Tours and all of that. And, you know, a couple of my players, I'm just telling them, you know, we just need to cut out everything because you're over trying, over wanting it. You're motivated as heck, but you just got to, you know, sit back and go, listen, I'm an athlete. I know what I know, and let's just go out and play the game and have fun, you know, and have fun doing what we do. And that's a lot easier said, you know, than done, but that's why, you know, we are in the profession we are in, to help players navigate some of these emotional and psychological landmines that many times they create for themselves.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. You did take the literal words out of my mouth. The easier said than done, Doc. It really is a process, and if you get off the process or you get away from it in any degree, things take a lot longer to come back around to you and such. But something that's not taking long this hour is our guest. He's with us this hour, so it's fantastic that they'll be able to tap into the mind of the confidence doctor, Dr. Bob Winters, down at the Ledbetter Academy in Orlando, Florida, where we will be in January, the end of January. It's amazing. The credentials came out today to go to the show. We'll be back. Talk to Doc about that as well.
The Dalai Lama. So I'm on a first tee. What am I giving the driver? He hauls off and whacks one. Big hitter. The Lama. Long. Into a 10,000 foot crevice right at the base of this glacier. You know what the Lama says? Gunga Galunga. Gunga Gunga Galunga.
We're back to start the second of our other show, spending it with our regular mental guru, our regular contributor, Dr. Bob Winters, the confidence doctor. Yeah, get out there. I mean, so many years of research and knowledge, internationally renowned sports psychologist. He's written, he speaks all over the place, including Indianapolis. And I know he loves that state way too much. So we'll leave that part of geography alone for right now. But as I mentioned this week, the form to fill out the credentials for the PGA Merchandise Show coming up in January came out. So it's like, wow, it's not that close, but I guess it's close enough. So hopefully you and I'll get to spend a little bit of time boots on the ground in that cavernous convention center. But I got to get on the I have to get on your schedule early, or it just doesn't come together.
Yeah, well, that makes, you know, it just creates. You know, I just can't believe it. I'm sitting here just sort of, you know, stunned that, you know, the registration's already begun. But I have to think, you know, here it is. We're in the middle to latter part of September, and it's October, you know, November, December. We're getting into, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas, and before long it'll be the PGA show. But, you know, every year you and I get together at the PGA show, and we walk around, and there's always something new. You know, it's like the old marriage, something borrowed, something blue, you know, that kind of, you know, the old sing-song rhyme. But I always, you know, look at the show and people go, you know, what's new? What's exciting? And, you know, the one thing that never changes, I think, for golfers, and I think this is a wonderful part of the game, is just the wonderment, the zeal, the quest. It's almost like the quest for the Holy Grail. I mean, we're all looking, you know, for that, you know, perfect driver. We're looking for that perfect putter. We're looking for that perfect practice aid, or, you know, the perfect, you know, mindset. And, you know, and so I've always said that the more things change, the more they stay the same, because really, what is it that you really want in your golf game? People say they want consistency, but most of the time people are very consistent. They are consistently inconsistent, meaning that they're doing something different every time they step up to the ball. And but I think they want to become consistently good. They want to become more effective in their ball striking. And I've always said this. I said, if you want to become much more efficient and effective in your ball striking, you have to do a couple of things mentally. And one of them is to really have a clear mind and have a clear intention, a clear purpose of what you want to do. And that's really what I call purposeful intention, is that if you really step into every shot and you say, this is really what I want to do, and this is how I'm going to do it, I mean, you've really, you know, cut away a lot of the clutter. And that's really what doubt, you know, that's what doubt feeds on. Doubt feeds on a scattered mind. It feeds on clutter. It feeds on indecision. So the more decisive one is from behind the ball before they step in, the more purposeful intention and commitment they create, the better off they're going to be. And because I've said that, I was just doing a nice virtual mental game seminar for the Georgia State Panthers, for the Lady Panthers today, and they're getting ready to play in the Lady Paladin Furman Invitational. And a young girl said, well, the one thing I'm missing is commitment. And I was asking her what commitment was, and she had a hard time articulating that. And I said, it's a pledge or a promise you make to yourself. And that's really what golfers are. When we make a commitment to our ball, to ourselves, and to the target, we're really becoming one. And that's how we create, you know, kind of this focused flow. We're focused on the target, on the task, and we are totally absorbed in the moment. And that's really what the flow state is. And if you do that, now you're talking true commitment, because you're committing to the task and to the target. And just by understanding that, and golfers can do that, boy, they can really have a lot more fun with the game. And that's really where I like to take things, Keith. When we start talking about the show and start talking about all the educational seminars, I just, you know, really go back to it. Let's go back to basics, because everyone knows that the game, the real purpose of the game, is to get it from point A to point B to point C in the most efficient and economical manner possible. Take away all the other hubba, you know, chubba lubba stuff, all the psychological babble, but that's the bottom line. And if I can get players to think that clearly and that simply, boy, they're going to enjoy the game a lot more and shoot lower scores.
All right, so there's a guy that wants to be out so badly onto a course, because playing golf is what he knows. It's what he's done since he was 3 years old. And I'm talking about Tiger Woods. And he's undergoing yet another back surgery, and he's hoping to get back out on the course. Now, we know the toll that this takes on a body, and we've seen specifically what it's done to Tiger, and Tiger's wrecked his body in numerous ways, even without golf. But the mindset that this guy has and the mental capacity and son is second to none. But from that standpoint, how do you find and digest information that he's subconsciously putting out to you as a sports psychologist? And how do you, or how are you able to transcend any, if at all, to other players that aspire?
Well, I think the one thing, you know, that Tiger has made, he has made a purposeful choice. This is who I am. This is what I do. And I have really almost self-admittedly, you know, said I'm more dedicated than anyone else, you know, in the world. But he's dedicated to being Eldrick Tiger Woods. And so when you're committed to, you know, yourself for that purpose, I mean, he knows nothing else. And that's why it's so, all of these different procedures and surgeries. I think he's had almost, 35 in his career. I mean, if you really talk about all the times he's gone into operations or gone under the knife or whatever, I mean, his body has endured a lot, you know, of surgical procedures. But the point of it is, you know, he has made the choice. This is what I do, and this is how I do it. And there's really no other option for him, because, you know, that's who Tiger Woods is. And, you know, Tiger is one of those people, you know, we always ask people, you know, on, you know, everyday Joe or Jane on the street, when are you going to retire? Well, I'm not going to retire. I'm going to keep doing this until I'm dead. And he's one of those guys. He's just saying, hey, this is what I do, you know, and I'm Tiger Woods. I mean, if he was somebody else, you know, it might be a whole different story. But because he is an icon, he is such an individual, and there will never be another one like him. There will be others, you know, who may come on, who may even be better. But, you know, he is Tiger Woods, as Jack Nicklaus is Jack Nicklaus, Annika is Annika. I mean, there's only just a very few of these people in the world. And so the one thing you've got to talk about is their singularity of their life purpose. This is who I am. This is what I do. And this is how I do it. So, yeah, I mean, kudos to him, because that is his driving motivation to get better, because he loves it. He lives it. And that's who he is.
Yeah, I just find it fascinating when it gets broken down like that. So to my point, or the question specifically about dissecting his brain because of what you do, are you able to extrapolate anything, Doc?
You know, from what he's going through?
Yeah, from his mindset, which is full bore, to share with your students of the understanding of why he is who he is, but just in general, why he thinks the way he does.
Well, I think his being, I remember, you know, Jack Nicklaus was going out and he was winning, you know, all of these different tournaments. And they asked Tom Weisskopf, who was one of his, you know, colleagues and competitors. And they asked him, he said, you know, what do you think, you know, is going through Jack's mind right now, Tom? And Tom said, I don't know. You know, if I did, I'd probably be winning a lot more majors. So that's the whole point. It's hard to second guess, you know, where Tiger's mindset is. But the one thing I'm always telling students is this, is that, are you hungry? Do you really want it? Tiger Woods, you know, he created, you know, everything he's gotten. You know, he is, you know, the whole point. We can talk about attracting it in our minds, but you have to create it with your body. So part of the law of attraction is also only half of the equation. You know, part of it is I attract, you know, what I want in my life. The other part is I'm going after it, and I'm going to actually pursue it and create it for myself. And that's really what I tell my students. You know, you are what you think about. You are what you do and you create. So the more that you think about it, the more you create it, the more you are on your way to success. And that's exactly what Tiger Woods has done. In fact, that's the secret of every successful person in life, no matter what their station or what, you know, occupation they are. You know, they said, this is who I am, this is what I do, and I'm going to go after it. And so, and I've always said, somebody said, well, how come, you know, some people are different than others? And I said, some people are just hungrier than others. And, you know, Tiger Woods, I don't know how full his refrigerator was, but, you know, it's hard to be hungry when you have a full refrigerator. And he's always been hungry, his desire to get better, his quest for self-improvement. And I think all of this, every time he's actually had sort of a physical or psychological, you know, browbeat or downward phase, he always looks at it as a challenge. Can I get back? Can I recover? Can I get back to be better? Or even, you know, just getting back to a place where I can still compete. I think he takes that on as a personal challenge. And I think that's really what we can learn from him. He's really, really good at being resilient, bouncing back, and just proving everyone wrong and proving himself right.
So let's transition now over to the LIV Tour. And you and I have not spoken a lot about that tour over time, but everybody has a thought about it and such. But when I look at the difference in the mentality of the player on the PGA Tour and the mentality of a player on the LIV Tour, I see a lot of what you're talking about is the guys went over, besides for the money, they went over to have more time to do other things besides the grind of golf. But I see a more relaxed, I don't say less professional, but the whole presentation is just totally different than what we're used to seeing on the PGA Tour. How do you break those guys down?
Well, you know, I've had, you know, players on the LIV Tour, you know, that I've worked with, and I've had players on the PGA Tour I've worked with. Obviously, when you are on the LIV Tour, you don't really have, I mean, obviously, unless you do the relegation, but you have some sense of financial security. I mean, you've actually probably gotten quite a bit. You've got, you know, sort of a team aspect. You've got, you know, your team that you're playing for. In the PGA Tour, you know, you have the team of one. You know, it's me, myself, and I, and we're not playing for anyone else. But, yes, I think there's a much more relaxed atmosphere that's more about playing. I think that's the one thing that sort of separates, in my mind, are, you know, does a LIV golfer, are they hungry? Are they as hungry as the PGA Tour players? And, you know, most of the LIV players are very accomplished players. And they had to actually, you know, come up through the ranks, whether it was world, you know, rankings or PGA Tour rankings, you know, and they actually have gone through the fires of golf. But for me, I'm an equal opportunity sports psychologist, performance coach. I mean, you know, this is a professional tour. These are some of the very best players in the world. So, I mean, they're competitive. I mean, if you don't believe that, you know, take a look at this year's U.S. Open. You had, you know, one of the big proponents of the PGA Tour, Rory McIlroy, coming down the stretch against LIV guy Bryson DeChambeau. And who comes out on top? Bryson DeChambeau. So, Bryson, hey, He's got a work ethic second to none. So does Rory. So for me, you know, I really don't try to make that demarcation. I mean, everybody wants to talk about it, but for me, they're professional athletes, and I look at that first. Where they play, I really don't care, because competition is competition. That's the way I look at it, Keith.
Well, thank you, Doc. That's not what I was wanting to hear from you, but that's what I am not surprised to hear from you. And that's exactly when you're playing at that level or aspiring to be to a certain level, you've got to be in that mindset, but you also have to keep on aspiring.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing is, you know, making it fun. I think that's the whole point. I think a lot of times players over the years, they become stagnant, they become stale. Golf, you know, isn't fun anymore. And that's just sometimes when I get a phone call, it's that it just isn't any fun anymore. How can I make it more enjoyable for me? And I think a lot of these guys that went to the LIV Tour said, listen, you know, I've done this. You know, I've been there, bought the T-shirt, you know, and even had the store. And now I just kind of want to, you know, relax a little bit. And I think that's really what the LIV Tour has allowed them to do. So, but it's still very competitive. You know, it's very entertaining. And these guys are performers. They are athletes. But they are, you know, it's a product that they're selling as well. So, and it's entertainment. So, I hope we can actually spread, you know, the gospel of golf all across the globe. And I think that's kind of really what the LIV Tour is really trying to do.
Well, I tell you, people have soured on the professional tours over the last number of months. But what has not soured is the recreational element to the game of golf and families playing and father-son or father-daughter or mother-son, et cetera, et cetera. It's still great to see. So great to see.
Well, it is great to see. And the one thing, you know, that everybody's talking about, you know, the ratings and this and that, is that, you know, you've got, you know, this year was a year of what I would call the solid player. You had, you know, Xavier Schauffele. You had, you know, Scottie Scheffler. I mean, these guys, and Colin Morikawa, these guys are playing unbelievable golf. Unbelievable golf. But it's so solid. And because they're so solid, they come across a little bland, a little vanilla, and they don't have these charismatic, colorful personalities like we've had in the old days with, you know, the shark and the walrus and the golden bear and tiger and, you know, the Ian Poulters of the world. You know, there's just a whole, you know, cornucopia of different personalities. So every now and then, it's nice to have rivalry in the game. It's nice to have competitors in the game. You know, it's not bad, you know, for PR to have a little controversy in the game. But, you know, all kudos off, you know, to Scottie and Xavier this year, because they've had unbelievable, you know, golf careers. I mean, it's just this year has just been, you know, off the charts as far as watching unbelievable golf from these two guys. But as far as overall, you know, people say, well, you know, I don't know. It hasn't really been that exciting. I think because you don't really have, you know, the duels or the feuds or the conflicts that we've had over the last 4 to 5 years, you know. And, you know, part of that is, hey, listen, you know, and I love, you know, the recreational golf of it. I love the junior golfers. I love, you know, the college golf. In fact, the college golf. And I love women's golf. And I'm a big part, you know, of the next tour. And that is, you know, a women's developmental tour that's taken off here in Central Florida.
With Dr. Bob Winters, we'll be back to wrap up the show.
Hi, this is Bob Toski, and you're listening to Tee It Up with Keith Jones.
And we are back for our final segment. It's always a pleasure to spend time with some quality guests, and this guy is no exception. We try to get him on semi-regularly because he's all over the place. He's holding seminars, and he's doing meetings online, and just on and on. He's playing a little golf himself, and he's taking trips to Scotland with his buddies, and even taking a cruise with his lovely wife to Alaska. Well played, Doctor. Well played, Doctor.
Well, you know, thanks. You know, but you know, I guess I want to start this segment with just, you know, a thought. And it was a thought that I actually was talking with, you know, some of my virtual coaching here earlier today, is that I always ask players, you know, what's one of the most important things that you have when you step up on that tee? You know, on that first tee, you know, what's one of the most important things? Because so many players, and I would say almost 99%, they are sort of, they live and they die on that opening tee shot. You know, they have huge expectations of, this is how I want my round to be. This is, you know, where I think I might be scoring. And, you know, and they've really been putting a lot of emphasis, you know, on really getting off to a good start. But I've always asked, you know, my players, and I asked my players specifically this today, when you're really stepping up in the first tee, what's the most important thing you have? And for me, it was the permission that you give yourself to say, you know what? This is my time. This is my ball. This is my game. And I'm not going to worry about what other people think about me. I'm going to go and I'm going to play my game the very best way, because it is my time. It's my nickel. You know, I want to actually enjoy my time out here. And even though you're a professional, even though you might be going through qualifying school, you still have to have sort of that same emotional freedom. So the most important thing, I think, over the years that Jack Nicklaus and Tiger and Annika and the greats have taken to the game, taken to the first tee, they know that they've prepared. They know they've, you know, gotten themselves ready. But more than anything, they allow themselves to be themselves. So the question I always ask, when you're playing your very best, what's going on? Have you ever, you know, thought about it? And, you know, do you really take that mindset with you to the golf course, and do you play it and play it out? And so having sort of a mental mantra, or having some type of reminder that says, listen, this is what I do. This is what I do well. And I'm going to stay and adhere to that strategy. So, I mean, one thing would be all day long, you know, I'm not going to hit a shot until I have a clear picture of what I want to do. I mean, just to have, you know, a clear picture doesn't mean you have to sit back and visualize and do all this imagery stuff. But, you know, I've got a good number. I see my target. And now I just have a clear perspective. I have clear intention. You know, this is what I want to do. And so when you do that, that really gives you permission to step up there and hit that shot. Now, every listener that's actually listening to my words, you know, I want to challenge them in this. When you have played your best golf, what's going on? There's probably very little doubt. There's probably very little indecision. Your thoughts are clear. You're probably in a pretty good mood. And all you're doing is really, you're not overthinking. You're just thinking about the right things. And you're stepping in and you're swinging your ball and you're swinging it to your intended target. I mean, that's pretty simple. So when we talk about KISS, K-I-S-S, it used to mean keep it simple, stupid. But I don't work with stupid people and I don't think golfers are stupid. So I've always said the acronym means keep it simple and specific. A simple thought of what you want to do with the swing, but swinging that simple thought to a very specific target. Keep it simple and specific. And the more simple and the more specific we can get it, you know, that's what the tour players are doing. Everyone wants to talk about how technical, and they're using all of the, you know, the range finders, and they're using all the TrackMan, FlightScope, and all of the other stuff. But really, when it gets right down to it, when they're stepping into the shot, that 7 or 8 seconds, they're keeping it very simple, very specific, and so should you. And the more that you can do that, you know, the better you're going to play.
Doc, fantastic as always. Always appreciate you making time to come on the show. It's great to catch up, and continued success to you. And I know you've got great things going at the Ledbetter Academy in Orlando, Florida, and such. We do greatly look forward to seeing you, me personally especially, in Orlando for the PGA Merchandise Show at the end of January. But of course, the good doctor will be coming on this show numerous times. In the meantime, we can't keep them away. We have tried. We're just out of time, so get out there and think about this. Keep it simple and specific. Practice. Take your game to the next level, and we will talk to you next week. Take care.